Turn with us to Exodus chapter 20 and beginning at verse number 8. And we come to the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8. Where the Bible says, remember. That's not just a word. It's an important word. Remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor. We're going to look at that. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, nor, it says, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. I believe that's a literal 24-hour day that's being spoken of there. 6 literal 24-hour days. 6 days. 6 days. And then it goes on to say, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and then hallowed it. It's a special day. It's a holy day. This commandment, the fourth commandment, is one of the most abused and misused and often broken of all of the commandments. And when it comes to those who say, I know God, I'm a Christian, to those who say that, they do not take it seriously. It's a serious thing. We as the household of God, I believe in the church, the kingdom, and the family. All the saved are in the family. They're in the household, but the church is a local, visible body. The word ecclesia will not allow anything else if you study the word. It means a called out assembly, that which will assemble. But the family is what most people today call the church. But the family. The household of God must take this seriously. And if we do not, how can we expect the world to have any respect for us or for this commandment? Now, some of you are old enough to remember blue laws. Blue laws. Now, down in Mississippi, when I was just a baby crawling, there were blue laws. And stores didn't open on Sunday. The hospital was open. The fire stations were open. There were policemen. And if you needed something from the pharmacy, you had to call the pharmacist and ask him to go and get it for you. Some of you remember those days. Where did that come from? That came from America's respect for a day of rest. The Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. And it is. It's a day and a time of worship and of rest. It's a day that was appointed and is appointed by God Himself. Now, the Christian Sabbath is the one day in seven that is specifically and specially dedicated to God's honor, and it is to be spent in service, church service, and in rest. In rest. I'm going to be truthful. The best nap that I have every week is on Sunday afternoon. There's something about it. Any of y'all agree with me? Man, I love a Sunday afternoon nap. Get in that easy chair. And I put something over my face. I like to cover it up. I, for years, put a newspaper and put it on my face. And the newspaper goes, it's a day of rest. It's a good day. I always get sleepy on Sunday afternoon. Always a time for resting. And our God, He is the sovereign over that day, the Sabbath. Now, I'm not saying He's not over all others, but I believe that Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is a day that is set aside. And we'll get to the change of where it went from Saturday to Sunday a little later. Mark 2, verses 27 and 28 say this. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, and He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now, a lot of the Pharisees had added a lot of burdens on people, and you can't walk two steps, and if you pick up two sticks, we're going to bring you before us. And I mean, they just got ridiculous about it. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And this means that God is sovereign over our time, whether we realize it or not, whether we recognize it or not. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He is in charge. He is sovereign over our time. I believe God is Lord of the Sabbath. This day, we must always remember. We need to remember this day. But in our depravity, we tend to forget what it's all about. We call it at home fudge a little bit. We used to play marbles. And you'd have a spot where your marble was, and if you moved, you fudged. You fudged. Well, that's what we do sometimes. Well, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Pastored in Kentucky for 11 years. Was in Kentucky 11 years, most of it pastoring there, going to Bible college and that. And the Cox family, they didn't care what was out in the field. They didn't care if the hay was down, if the other crop needed to come in or whatever. If there was a big storm coming and it was going to hit on Sunday afternoon, they let it hit. Some of the most prosperous people in that whole region. Because God took care of them because they honored Him. And so we need not fudge. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what we're commanded to do. Now let's look at the source of the Sabbath. Let's look at the origin. To do this, we go to Genesis chapter 2 and begin our reading at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1. Second chapter, not long after the creation story is finished. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day. Now notice this. And sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. He sanctified the Sabbath day. I used to travel preaching with a preacher over in Tennessee, and Brother Stroud was his name. He's gone on to be with the Lord, and he said, "Now, preacher," he said, "we're going to have to leave right after church." He said, "We've got sandwiches packed. And we've got enough gas to get toward Knoxville." He said, "But I hate it now. We're going to have to We're going to have to get us a room. We're going to have to pay for that today on the Sabbath. Back then, you didn't have computers. You couldn't pay it ahead. That bothered him that we would have to... It doesn't bother us today. But he wanted to set apart the Lord's Day. He did. In looking at one of these words in particular here, in chapter 2, the word rested in verse 2 of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2, and he rested on the seventh day. And in verse number 3, that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Now, etymology just means the origin of, the meaning of a particular word. And the etymology of that word means to rest. It means to rest. Now, that's also the etymology of the word Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. Rest means rest. Rested means to be rested. Now, God did not need rest. He did not. Because He was not weary in creating everything. He didn't need rest. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says this, Isaiah 40, 28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He does not weary." But He sets about a principle for us in this. He sets about a principle for us. The Sabbath day, the day of rest, goes back to, as we read in Genesis, the creation. And listen, that day of rest is the pinnacle of the creation week. I mean, that's the pinnacle. Well, did Adam and Eve observe the Sabbath? Yes, they did. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 3. Verse number 3. "And they taught their boys about it." And in the process of time, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, brought up the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. The process of time. Now, the Hebrew word for process, kates, means the end of. The end of that particular time. And the Hebrew word for time is yomei, meaning days. In the process of time, in the end of days. The end of what days? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In the process of time, the end of the week. In the end of the week, he brought, as the Bible teaches us, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So he brought an offering at the end of the days, the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a moral law before. It was a law morally before the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16 and verses 4 and 5. Exodus 16 and verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it came, and it shall come to pass, that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather." Now why is that? They're not to gather on the Sabbath day. They're not to prepare on the Sabbath day. That day is set apart. Again, when I was just a little one, crawling around on the floor, I remember that on Saturday the food was prepared. And without the modern refrigerators, or ice boxes we called them, they didn't have a place to store all that, so they would put it on the kitchen table and put a cloth over it. Some of you with me? They'd put a cloth over it. And on Sunday, you ate what was prepared on Saturday. Wasn't anything prepared on Saturday. I mean on Sunday. It was prepared on Saturday for Sunday. So, and I grew up around that, even with Mormonism. Because they wanted to keep the law. But it was a day when you didn't go do anything. You didn't work. They really didn't want you playing. It was a day to rest. Look at verses 22 and 23 of this same chapter, chapter 16. Exodus. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seize that ye will seize. Seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. That's where they got it from. Isn't it something that people lived by the Bible? Lived by the Word of God? And you know what? I never got food poisoning or ptomaine or anything else. How? I don't know. Back then they had pie safes too. And I'm not old. Good night, I'm not old. I was right on the edge of all... Patty, please. But I was right on the edge of all of it. I mean, I just stepped out of the old into the new, you know. But I remember pie safes. And the pies would just sit in there for... I don't know, brother. They'd stay there for... you know, we ate. We did. God took care of us. So the Sabbath predated the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Now, in this law, I see something that we need in our day in particular in Exodus chapter 20. And I want us to notice it. Verse number 9. Exodus 20, verse number 9. 6 days shalt thou labor, work. So the obligation of work is clearly set before us in the Word of God. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Now it is the Lord who tells us to work. He tells us to work. He says 6 days. Most of you work a 5-day work week, and then on Saturday you work because you got to mow the grass, you got to pick up, you got to do this, you got to fix that. I understand that. It's good for people to work. Do you know that Adam and Eve had jobs in a perfect environment? We've got a lot of people who don't have jobs in an imperfect environment. We got folks who don't want a job.
Now, Brother Wayne, I was always taught if you wanted a job, you could find a job. You know, might not find what you wanted to do, but there are jobs out there. I see now hiring on a lot of places. But most people want a position and not a job. I have worked some jobs. In Bible college, before that, after college. You know why? Take care of my wife and children. One time I went downtown Louisville, I mean we were scraping the bottom of the barrel. I went as close as coming to the door of the welfare office to go in. And I said, I'm not going to do it. Now, that was just me. Some people have to. I understand that. I do. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying I came that close to doing it. But then I said, Lord, You'll take care of me. You'll take care of my two little boys and my wife. And I got a job driving a Catholic school bus, picking up little Catholic children, bringing them to school. A friend of mine, Bob Ferris, was in school with me, and he was working at that time with Evangelism Fellowship. And I said, Bob, ride the bus. I didn't think anything about it. I said, ride the bus with me, and while I'm going, bringing them to school, you go ahead and preach to them. I didn't say anything about it. And boy, the priest, he said, they told him, boy, we heard about Jesus today, how He died for our sins and rose again, and how we don't have to work our way to heaven. And the priest came and said, you can't do that anymore. You don't let that man. I said, I won't let him on here anymore. Oh, man. But I tell you what, they got the gospel. They got the gospel. But God gave me that. And then worked in the bank and worked in the hospital. And, you know, I felt better working. God opened doors when I said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to do the other. I'm going to find a job. There is a job. And I did. So the birthplace of labor is where? The Garden of Eden. That's where labor began, right there in the Garden of Eden. Adam, the sinless man, was a man of agriculture. He had a job. He worked. He was a laborer. Man needed to work even before the fall. Now, the sweat of the brow and all the briars and Johnson grass came after the fall. But he labored. He did. He needed to work. Now, the man who does not work, listen closely, is not fit to worship. Because the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor, and then you rest on the Sabbath. You're not fit to worship if you don't work. I believe that's why a lot of people don't worship. Arthur Pink said this. He says, he who never works is unfitted for worship. Work is to pave the way for worship, as worship is to fit us for work. The fact that any man can escape the observance of the first half of the commandment is a sad reflection upon our modern society, social order. He wrote that before 1951. And shows how far we have departed from the divine plan and ideal. The more diligent and faithful we are in performing the duties of the 6 days, the more shall we value the rest of the seventh. You value that day of worship. You value that day of rest. My Bible says, if any would not work, neither should he. That's right. Neither should he chow down. He shouldn't eat. The Bible says the workman is worthy of his hire. And I know that's primarily talking about the man of God. But I believe that if you work, you get some groceries on your table. Amen? It's a good thing. But not only
do we have an obligation of work, but we have the obligation of rest. It's an obligation too. The obligation of rest. Rest is important to every one of you here today. But no one is to be an alcoholic. Let me tell you something. Work is good, but no one is to be a workaholic. I think the Lord's trying to warn somebody here tonight. We need to rest our bodies. Our bodies need rest. Every one of God's creatures need rest. I believe that even machinery needs rest. I do. The cattle were to rest. The animals were to rest. I mean, machinery needs a rest. Nothing should work 7 days and then 7 days. There needs to be time for maintenance. There needs to be time to put aside. There needs to be that rest. All of us are to rest, young and old. Some older ones rest more, but they've earned it. They have. This rest is to be a rest of the mind as well as of the body. Here's one of the problems we've got in our day. People are having real problems because they don't rest their mind. They'll sit down and say, I'm going to rest a while, and they're on their Facebook. You know, I used to watch the Jetsons. Y'all remember the Jetsons? George, his crew. I liked his dog a lot. But I remember the Jetsons, and I thought in my mind when I was watching that many years ago, that's crazy that you'd actually be able to talk to somebody and them see you and you see them. What do they call it now? Face something or another. I don't know what it is, but I don't do it. I don't want anybody to see my mug. But, I mean, all these things have come about. It has. But people don't rest. I think one of the reasons we have many of the problems we have is we do not rest. I believe that the Christian Sabbath is to be a day of rest for our emotions as well as our bodies, because we are stretched to the point of fraying. We need that. We need that time of rest. I'll never forget pastoring a country church outside of Marion, Kentucky. I was young. At that time, we had Sam and TJ. They were just little ankle biters. And as we headed out of church at Repton Baptist Church, Mattoon, I told Denise, I said, we're going to have to run into town to get something for the meal. And one of the deacons, old brother Nunn, he said, no, you don't. He said, we've got eggs at our house, and we've got something fixed, and you come to our house. He said, on Sunday, we ought not shop. He said, you need to rest. I've never forgotten that. It's a day that is set aside. It is to be that way. They were such sweet people. He wasn't ugly or mean, and Miss Abnell was not at all ugly about it. You come eat with us. It was a welcome change. I mean, we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. And that's how we ought to do. Oh, how sinful we are. And how we suffer for our sin. We suffer because we will not rest. No wonder our children are cranky. Disobedient, unthankful. They have been brought up by parents who do not see the need of resting. Now, on Sundays, the pallets were laid out Sunday afternoon. I mean, you slept on a pallet. You got a pallet. You laid on the floor with a blanket or whatever. And that's what we were to do. We were to get some rest. To rest. But today, the Lord's Day is just another ball game. Another shopping day. Just another day of the week. Oh, you might go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, but then you've got the afternoon full with all kinds of things. The Lord's Day is to be a day of looking to the Lord. A day of resting from our activities and labors. And I believe that our country and our world is in the shape that it is in because we have desecrated the Lord's Day to the point of families missing church for any reason that comes along. That's what happens. The Bible teaches us that this rest, the rest on the Sabbath, is a refreshing rest. Exodus 23 and verse number 12. Exodus 23 and verse number 12, where the Bible says, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, it says, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. That's what it's about. A day of refreshing. Refreshing. The Hebrew word there for refreshed is nephath, and it means to breathe. Let's take a breather. Let's take a breather. That's what the Sabbath is. It's a breather. It's a time to deeply breathe in and to rest and to take time to be holy. That's what it's talking about here. We need a breather. Then Isaiah 58 teaches us that this day is to be a delight. Isaiah, verse number 58, and verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse number 13, says this, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways." Boy, that's an important part of this, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor pleasing thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in thee, Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It should be a refreshing time. It should be a delightful time. This day of rest, a day of delight, a day of gladness. And it is a day that speaks of deliverance. Deuteronomy 5 and verse number 15. Deuteronomy 5, verse number 15. The Sabbath, a day of deliverance. Remember, it says in Deuteronomy 5:15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Hey, you've been delivered! But I read in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Lord the Lord Christ. Christ, our Passover, for Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Is not the Christian Sabbath a day of deliverance? He is our Passover. As they kept the Jewish Sabbath, we keep the Christian Sabbath because of deliverance. His death, burial, and resurrection. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we are to do. Now, people say, wait a minute now, the Christian Sabbath. What are you talking about? The Christian Sabbath. Now, there are people who are Seventh-day Adventist and Seventh-day Baptist. But I note in the Scripture that we have cause to call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. And let's look at that. Israel worshipped on the seventh day, on Saturday, as it is today. As it is today. The day of worship in the New Testament is Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. Luke 6:5, and he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Christ did not do away with the Sabbath, but he did change the day on which it is celebrated on. It's a different day. Now, we have another day. And the fact that we have another day is brought out in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says here, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation in the wilderness. Now, and I'm reading over in chapter 3, but there was a hardness of the heart. We're not to harden our hearts. Our hearts are not to be hardened. And there is a rest that we can have. Now, let's look now. In chapter 4, and verses 8 and 9, for if Jesus had given them rest, has He given you rest? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You find rest for yourselves. There's a given rest, and there's a learned rest found there. But here it says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? If He had given them a rest, why would He speak of another day? And it says in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Now, most of the time we say, well, that's heaven, that's a rest. No, there remains a rest for the New Testament Christian. There's a rest. There's a rest. Another day. That's brought out the words in verse 9, there remaineth thereof a rest. A rest. Those words point back to verse number 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, they would not, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest. Another day. There remains another day for you of rest. Again, I want to quote Arthur Pink, and he said this. He said, the word remain signifies to be left after others have withdrawn, to continue unchanged. Here, then, is a plain and positive and unequivocal declaration by the Spirit of God, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath keeping. Hence, we solemnly declare that any man who says there is no Christian Sabbath takes direct issue with the New Testament Scriptures. The old Sabbath spoke of and celebrates the work of creation. The Christian Sabbath celebrates a new creation, celebrates the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, and how we have that new creation in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, after finishing the work of redemption, rested as God the Father rested from His work. The first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath. Where's Jesus now? He is seated where? At the right hand of God the Father. Is He resting? Resting. Go with me now to John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. It is exemplified. There remains another day. And here it is shown to us in Scripture, exemplified. The Lord's followers, the disciples, they met on the first day of the week. And they worshipped on that day. Chapter 20 of John, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, okay, that's just one time. That doesn't set any precedent. We'll go to verse 26. Another week has passed. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Another week passes, and there they are again. And He's there on that day. Some would argue about that. I'm not going to. I'm settled on it. There was preaching on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. They came together. First day of the week. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only day that you're to have preaching, or we wouldn't be here tonight. Amen? But that's the day set aside for Christian worship. It's a day set aside. Do you take offerings Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or how does the church take offerings here? When do you receive offerings? When are they put in the box? Sunday? Oh, why do you do that? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 2. It says here, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, that's when you take the offering. That's when you lay it aside. That's where you lay when you lay it in store. That way you take care of the missionary, you take care of the pastor, you take care of the work of the church. All of it's done that way. And there's much more we can say about the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, if you want to call it that, the day of worship. But I believe it is for man's good. It is for our good that we have this day. It was abused by the Jews. Let us not abuse it in another way. They went overboard one way, we've gone overboard the other. Truth out of balance leads to heresy. That's why you must stay balanced.
The pendulum is not to swing too far either way. Either way. Mark 2:27 and 28, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's good for us. It was made for us. It's good for you to rest. Man needs rest. It's for our personal need. We need to worship. We need to consider the mighty blessings of God. What better day is there than a day that is set apart called the Sabbath? A Christian Sabbath. But you can't rest and you cannot worship like you should. You can't worship and rest in the Lord until you know Him. I declare unto you tonight the gospel of how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Trust in the Christ of the gospel and find rest for your souls.